Have a brief word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we look into your holy word this evening, may you guide our thoughts and guide our understanding. May the words spoken here tonight be your words. And may the spirit that's felt here tonight, Lord, be your spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a story about this ship that's out on the ocean. And this terrible storm comes up. And the ship is being beat about. It's going up, it's going down, it's starting to take on water. And the captain gets all the crews together and he says, "Boys, it's really bad. Is there anyone here who knows how to pray? Please, is there anyone here who knows how to pray?" And one of the men comes forward and he goes, "Yes, sir, I know how to pray." The captain got a tear in his eye and he said, "That's just wonderful. That's great. That's the best possible news. I tell you what we're going to do. You start praying while the rest of us put on life vests. It seems like we're one shy from having enough." If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I'll begin reading with the 24th verse. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." May the good Lord bless the reading of His Word. Here we have the story of two houses, two builders, two foundations, two very different results. One is built on sand and the other is built on rock. And the picture that we get here is that these houses are identical houses. They're built the same way. And the reason I say that is because this is Christ that's given this example. And the object that he's getting at is the foundation that these houses are built on. And if there's anything at all different with these houses, then it would be kind of misleading. You know, in Japan, they've learned a lot about building for earthquakes. In fact, they can build a building so well that it will stay completely together when an earthquake comes, even though they found out in the last big one that if you put sand and you put water together and shake it, you form quicksand. So the building is completely intact, it just kind of shifts on you. So Jesus is talking about the foundations. And he's talking about people who had the same opportunity. They each heard his words. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." That means that both of these people were exposed to the gospel message that Christ was teaching. Both were exposed to his words. But both responded differently. The only thing that is different is their acceptance of what he had to say. In Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." There's more to salvation than just believing that the gospel is real. I don't believe that there is a demon in hell that does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't believe they exist. But the difference is, they will not accept Him as Lord. They will not repent of their sins and accept Him as their Lord. And that's why they're going to hell. Why they're in hell. It's because they have not accepted the gospel message. They've heard it. I'm sure they've heard it. Satan used to quote Scripture all the time in the Bible. He loves to quote Scripture. And he loves to change it just a little bit. He loves to set you up where you think he's talking the truth. And then he'll slip one into you. He did it to Eve. And he tried to do it to Christ in a temptation in the desert. So they know the gospel. They just don't accept the gospel. And that makes a big difference. So here we've got two people. They both heard the gospel message and they both built the house. And they both built the house to the same conditions. But one was on rock and one was on sand. The difference was how they responded to His message. Jesus said, "The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe." Do you think He was kidding? Do you think He was just talking idle talk? You know, there are people that want to take things out of the Bible and say they don't apply to us. But anything that's in red in this Bible, you better be very careful before you start taking it off. Jesus said, "Repent and believe." Repent and believe the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Paul said that he preached the gospel. He preached Christ crucified. The gospel that Christ came for our sins. He was crucified, He paid the debt, and He rose again. And He is our Savior. That's all there is to the gospel. When you repent, you agree that you are going to accept Christ as your Savior. That He's going to be Lord of your life. If you don't do that, you don't have salvation. No matter what you may think, you do not have salvation. And some may think, well, you know, look at the weather outside. It's nice and sunny today. So who cares what you built on? Is it sand? Is it a rock? Who cares? The weather's fine. In Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter, we read where some people had come to Christ and it said, "There was some present that season. Some have told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, Suppose ye that these kids were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, ye shall also likewise perish. Or those 18, upon whom the tower at Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." There is a storm coming on saint and sinner alike. There is a storm coming on all families. It doesn't matter. And the question is, how is your foundation going to hold up? On the surface, most of them look very similar. Most of the people that come to the doors of this church and sit in the pews, not just this church, but any church, they hear the same preacher. They go to the same potlucks. Some of them are going to be saved, and some of them are not going to be saved, because looks are deceiving. You can look like a Christian, but are you really a Christian? Have you built your house on a rock, or have you built your house on sand? These two men had a lot in common. They heard the same message. They built for the same conditions. They built the same house. But they had some differences. One built on sand, and the other built on rock. And for building on sand, people pick this for the worst of all possible reasons, and it's because it's easy. It's easy to build on sand. But usually what is easy is also destructive. For instance, it is easy not to exercise your body. But what happens when you don't? It degenerates. It is easy not to study when you're in school. But what happens? You don't graduate or you fail. It is easy not to clean your gutters out in the fall. But what happens? The water overflows and it ruins your foundation. It's easy not to do your car maintenance. It's the easiest thing in the world, just neglect it. But what happens to your car? It gets destroyed. One man built his house with very little preparation. He just put the post in and up it went. It was an easy thing to do. But sand is unstable. Sand will not hold up when the winds come and the rains fall. In verse 27, Jesus said, "And the rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." But what do you think Jesus was driving at? What was his point? Well, sand illustrates how people respond to the gospel message. The kingdom of God is at hand? Nah, that's down the road. I don't have to worry about that today. Repent? Who, me? Well, I'm good enough. I'm not as bad as a lot of people. I'm better than most. No. Follow Jesus? Uh-uh. That road is too narrow. Love thy neighbor? Now, who are you kidding? That guy is a jerk. Pick up the cross? Get real. I'm looking for an easier life, not a harder life. There's only one way to God? Well, that's just not possible. That's just not inclusive enough for me. This is an easy way to go in life. It takes no commitment. People, Christians of this type, when the going gets tough in their congregation, they'll just pick up and get going. And they'll go somewhere else to where the structure isn't as severe, or where the rules are laxer. And they'll keep moving from place to place to place. And if they can't find what they like, they'll make it. They'll have their own church. They'll put their own people in and have things the way they do. And they'll deceive people that come in off the street and think they're hearing the gospel when they're hearing nothing of the type. Some hear the gospel, but they don't accept the gospel. They hear the plan that God has for them, but they've got a different plan for God. They want to be their own Savior. They want to control how they're saved. But those that are built on the rock understand that Jesus alone has the power to save. Those who build on the rock embrace John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who build on the rock embrace John 14:6, when Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. And those who believe in the gospel, who build on a rock, embrace John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Those who hear the gospel, who build on the rock, not only believe the gospel, but they embrace the gospel. It becomes a part of them as much as their skin. They do what the gospel says to do, and they avoid what the gospel says to avoid. Now, that's not the easiest path to take in this material world that we have. But what God did for us through Christ wasn't easy either. And in exchange for that, God deserves nothing less than our very best. It is hard to build on rock. It is difficult if you're going to put a foundation to where you're actually anchored into the rock. Years ago, we had a little place in the country, and I was putting in post holes, fence in a pasture. And I go down about maybe 6 or 8 inches, I forget, not deep enough, but anyway, I hit a little rock ledge. Not a thick one, maybe 2 or 3 inches thick, but it covered my whole property, I think. So I had this chisel bar. It weighed about 30 pounds and it was a little bit taller than I was. So I just sat there and pound and pound and pound and pound on that ground. And eventually, I'd get that hole deep enough where I could put that post in. And 30 pounds may not sound like a lot, but you lift her about 500 times and see how heavy it gets. But that rock was a firm foundation. Once I put those posts in, they weren't going anywhere. It is hard to build on rock. It is easy to build on sand. I don't think anyone sets out to build their life in a shabby manner. They think it's fine. Whatever people do, they excuse. It's all right. This isn't hurting anybody. Or I'll change later. I've still got plenty of time. But their confidence is misplaced because looks can be misleading. About a month ago, Patty and I went to Oregon to visit our kids. And the one weekend we were there, my daughter had rented a house on the beach, on the coast, and she wanted us to go see. Wanted us to spend a night. Was it one night we spent there? I don't see beaches very often. So we go there. My daughter said it was beachfront, but my wife pointed out, no, it isn't. You have to cross a road to get there. There's a little road in front of him. But anyway, we get there, and my wife had bought me, I think they're called flip-flops. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. To walk on the sand. And it even had a superhero on it, Green Lantern, I believe. They're perfect. So I asked my daughter, I said, is this going to be all right to go out on this beach? And she said, oh, yeah, they're fine. So I start out, and I found out that these flip-flops were like two little suction cups on the bottom of my feet. And they stuck to that wet sand, and they wouldn't move. And the part that come up between my toes was cutting into my flesh big time. So I take those flip-flops off, and I step out on the sand. And I was surprised because it was wonderful. It was solid, but it was soft, and it was warm. And I'm on the part that had been under the tide. It was still wet. So I'm walking out. And this sand is glorious to walk on. And as you look around, there's this big area all around you. It's really a marvelous place. So I go up to the water. And the Pacific at that point is very cold. It's very cold. So I'm standing there and I let the water come in and hit my foot. Typical tourist, you know what I mean? So the water comes in and it comes up about midway up on my calf and it goes out. And I thought, well, that was nice. But then I had the uneasy feeling that I was about to fall. I was about to fall, and that's the truth. And what I did not realize is that it's not only the water on the surface that is affecting that sand. It is the water that is in the sand, that is underneath my feet. And when that wave came up on my feet and it was withdrew, it literally took the sand out from underneath my feet and I started to fall. That was shocking to me. I had no way of guessing that because it was such a delight to go out there. But I found myself kind of bracing myself then when it came in that I'd be embarrassing, sit there and old man fall over, his kids laughing at you. But I think a lot of people do this with their life. The weather is fine. They build on sand. It's perfect. But then when the water comes, they've got nothing to stand on. And they've made no move other than just stand there on what they thought was solid ground. But it's not solid. And that's a tragedy for them. But I want to tell you that Christ stands ready to repair the most rickety foundation that anyone has ever built. But you must believe the gospel, and you must accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You must embrace Him as the Lord of your life. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone, and that is the solid ground for all eternity. Anything else that you stand on is just like that sand that slips out from underneath your feet. It's like that beach sand as the water recedes. And it's slipping away from you with every beat of your heart. There is a storm coming in your life. It's guaranteed to come. And your house is right in the path. The question is, how well will it hold up? Will it fall? Will it stand solid? Do you have your faith on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I would say if you do not, that this is a day to set things right. This is a day to get off the sand and to get on the rock. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we thank You for all the blessings that You've given us through this week. We thank You for the breath of life that we've had. We thank You for the gift of life. Lord God, we pray that You would not let us deceive ourselves. We pray that when the good times come, that we don't get deceived into thinking that we have built on foundation of rock when it is actually sand. Lord, help us to seek out the true rock. Help us to seek out Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Keep us safe, Lord, and keep our foundation strong. Lord, if anyone needs to set things right with You, give him the power, give her the power, and the courage to do so right now. For it's in Christ's holy name that we pray to You, Father. Amen.